Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Nick Shook, he's going to join us. He is the Shookie Cookie. He is from NFL.com, and he covers the NFL. Man, he's great. He's all over the place, does a fantastic job. So he's going to join us in about 17 minutes. We'll talk to him. Coming up at high noon, Matt Wilhelm, former Ohio State linebacker. Oh, man, former Super Bowl champion with San Diego Chargers. We're going to talk to him coming up here at high noon. I'm looking forward to that, too. I was thinking of just talking about Ohio State for a second. I was thinking of, like, these iconic moments in Ohio State football history. And, you know, part of that was, you know, obviously the scoop and score from last Friday night. And it was amazing. And then I started thinking of, like, these images that are everlasting for you when it comes to Ohio State football. And one of those was him and Kenny Peterson kissing the crystal football when they won the national championship.
Glad you went on there.
Well, it
wasn't the image I had in my mind.
Well, you had to interrupt me in the middle of what I was saying, so I'm just glad
you were
able to.
I thought, wait a minute, is there more?
Yes, there was more.
Good.
There's
more.
Yes, of course. The crystal football. Do you remember that picture? In fact, he had a bobblehead that I still have at home. They did, like, one of the gas stations did four bobbleheads from that national championship team, and he had one. So I just thought it was cool. It's him, you know, holding
one of the gas stations.
Well, do you know which one it was?
I'm guessing it was a chain.
It was a chain, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
One that is probably
not just one.
One that's all over Ohio.
I'm Dave. I own a gas station. I made bobbleheads.
You want your own? Come on in. We'll make you your own bobblehead. God, you what? Make one out of a beer can. Look at this. Oh, I cut myself. Not good. Sam Darnold, we just talked about, $40 million, right?
Let's find us a quarterback.
Yeah, so, but is he the answer? Like, I don't
Where,
know that
in
that's...
Cleveland?
Yes, is
no,
he the answer
I don't,
here?
I do not see...
It's kind of hard...
I do not see
like,
that.
I don't know how Minnesota walks away from a quarterback that won 14 games this year.
I do.
Because of the last two?
Nope.
Why?
Because you drafted J.J. McCarthy after you signed Sam Darnold. Think about Atlanta.
Okay.
Think about Kirk Cousins, who we're going to dig into on Thursday. They signed Kirk Cousins as a free agent in Atlanta. He's all happy. Why? Because his wife's family lives in Atlanta, and he's like moving to be around the relatives. Hey, great. They're going to pay me out the wazoo, and I'm getting to live where I want to live. Great. Oh, wait a minute. You drafted Michael Penix. That's dirty pool. Well, I'm sure when Minnesota signed Darnold, they said, hey, we're looking quarterback in the draft. And then they did. I mean, you're not going to... I could have seen them keeping Sam Darnold in Minnesota on a franchise tag for a year if it had ended better. The two games, biggest games of the year, your offense didn't play well. Who leads the offense? The quarterback. You have Daniel Jones sitting there. You have J.J. McCarthy just waiting. So between those two guys, you can hold down quarterback. And Darnold showed that he's a good quarterback this year. But did he show he's capable of winning everything? That was his first playoff
experience. But if you're Minnesota
a
year from now, right? Let's say you're a year. And by the way, McCarthy's still, you know, he's coming back from injury, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he had to have a second surgery.
I mean, I just think it's kind of tough to walk away from a quarterback that won 14 games for you. I understand the kind. Like, if you
How'd
looked
Jaden
at this.
How'd Jaden Daniels look this year?
He looked good.
How'd Bo Nix look?
Oh, but, Jeff, there are. I mean, every once in a while you get a rookie that looks good, okay? It happens. It's the NFL.
This year you did. That's for sure.
But I can't base my decision on J.J. McCarthy because of Jaden Daniels. And I also know that I had a proven quarterback that won 14 games this year. I mean, things went sideways the last 2 weeks. Two big weeks, especially because it was a huge seeding difference for you by not winning that game the last week of the regular season. Right?
So what would you do? If you're Minnesota, what would you do? And if you're Sam Darnold, what would you do?
After 14 wins, it's hard not to franchise tag him. I think I'd franchise tag him, figure out what's going on with McCarthy, and when McCarthy's ready, it's only 1 year. You're
going to pay a guy $41 million, 40 whatever it is, to sit.
What's someone else going to get him for? And he doesn't necessarily have to take – I mean, they could do another one-year deal and not take the franchise tag, right? There's no law that says he's got to take that. That's just something.
True.
What's the other tag that you can do?
Is it the transition tag?
Transition tag. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is that in play here? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, you could put the transition tag on him, but the thing is somebody else can swoop in and pay him more.
Right.
But I don't remember all the transition tag rules. I'm not going to lie.
It allows a team to retain a player who is about to become an unrestricted free agent. And so the tag gives the original team the right to match any offer.
That's what it is. Team.
Yeah. So
all season long, Spotrac, they kind of keep an eye on all this stuff, projected Darnold's value at the end of the year at $35 million on a 4-year deal.
Okay. So,
On a 4-year deal. That would have been pretty good. And then as the season went on and, they're winning and winning and winning and winning, they jumped it to $55 million per year.
Wow.
And see, these last two games cost him that money.
$20 million.
And if he had been the winning quarterback against Detroit in the season finale, they'd still be sitting there waiting to play their first playoff game.
True.
And then all of a sudden, he's looking at a lot more money. These last two games probably cost him, what do you think, $40 million, $50 million in guaranteed dollars?
Guaranteed
dollars.
Yeah, on a 4-year deal. Yeah, on a 4-year deal. But
some team is still going to jump up and give him a big contract because that's what NFL teams do. I mean, you don't think the Raiders could put him to use?
Sure. Yeah, no, I totally
think the Raiders
see that.
Could be a great fit.
But at what price?
If you're Darnold, you want to go to a team that's not as good and maybe regress.
What are the Raiders going to pay him?
Any team's going to pay him $40 million or so a year.
So you think,
for 4 years, so $160 million, with about $100 million guaranteed,
maybe. You still need a quarterback, right? Because you don't know if JJ's totally healthy. You're going to have to kind of work him into the system.
I would think that they have a pretty good idea where JJ McCarthy's health is.
I do, too. I just don't. So ideally, if you're Minnesota, you want to bring in a quarterback at $20, $25 million? A secondary quarterback?
I think they have their quarterback. And I think it's JJ McCarthy. And if they're not convinced that he's the guy, if I'm the Browns, I'm picking up the phone and I'm offering him the number 2 pick for J.J. McCarthy. Because I think he's better than anybody coming out this year. See, if they decide that they want to go with Sam Darnold, they can make a haul if they want to trade J.J. McCarthy. All of the football analysts, all of the prognosticators say he's a better quarterback than anybody coming out this year.
Just everything that I read made me think that they're all in on JJ. I get it.
That's why they drafted him.
I understand that. But it's still hard to walk away.
You just saw the last two games.
Come on, man. I know, but still.
You saw the two most critical games of the year, and your quarterback didn't play very well. He was okay at best.
I'm trying to bring him back, but at less than $40 million. That's what I'm doing. I know you love Darnold. I'm like, whatever. I mean, truthfully, I don't care if he plays there or not. I'm trying to look at this from an objective point of view where I'm kind of ripping the name off the back of the jersey, and I'm saying to myself, I got a quarterback. He won me 14 games this year. In the last two games at the end of the year, he did not look good, and we didn't get to go very far in the playoffs. But we wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for him. And yet I've got a guy who's young and unproven that we had a pretty, what was he, 9th overall pick, 10th overall pick in the draft?
10.
So, I'm looking at this kid going, he's going to be my future. How do I marry this for 1 year? That's what I need to figure out.
If you're the
Browns. How do I marry it for a year?
If you're the Browns and you could figure out the money, would you bring him in?
Yeah, sure I would. I'd bring in anybody right now. Dan, anybody that knows how to win some games.
No.
Dan doesn't like
that. How much? I mean, what if you got a minute?
He thinks Sam Darnold is Mike McCarthy's illegitimate son.
No, I think Sam Darnold is a point-and-shoot quarterback. I think Sam Darnold is the quarterback. If your head coach wants to play quarterback, Sam Darnold's your quarterback. He actually makes sense for what Kevin Stefanski wants to do. I'm just not paying him $40 million.
And yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. So, but you're not saying you wouldn't bring him in. You just wouldn't bring him at $40
million. I'd bring him in for like 20.
But yeah, that's not going to get it done.
But that's not going to get it done. No, that's unrealistic.
Somebody's going to pay him.
The thing with but Sam Darnold.
Would you just, if you could figure it out and forget the money, would you drop him in here at quarterback in Cleveland?
Yes, I would.
If I could get him for a price tag that I feel comfortable with, yeah, but there's a Sam Darnold ceiling that everyone will have to wrap their head around.
At least there is so far. Again, the guy's, he turns 28 next summer. He's played in one playoff game.
I feel pretty comfortable saying it.
I know, you're very confident in everything you say.
That's not totally true, but alas.
I stopped myself, and that's good. I would think he could come here and do certainly a better job than anything we've seen out of a Browns quarterback.
Now that I'll agree with you.
In years.
You saw it the last two games, and you've seen it in between every so often. He still gets the Sam Darnold short circuit.
I think
he gets pressure, and all of a sudden it all crumbles.
I think if we're going to throw the money into it, I think there are probably better fits out there for the Browns than paying a lot of money for Sam Darnold. And again, I like Darnold. I'd be more than okay if he was the quarterback on this team. More than okay with it. Because I think he'd be an upgrade over anybody we had this year and last year. And I know Joe Flacco played well here
last
year.
But is it Sam Darnold and Cam Ward? Is it Sam Darnold and Shedeur Sanders? Right?
No, if it's Sam Darnold here, you're not drafting a quarterback at two. See, that's the thing. Then you're probably going out and signing a guy like Zach Wilson. Signing a guy like Trey Lance. Signing Kyle Trask. You're going to sign one of these young guys to come in here and be here with him. And keep DTR. Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's
an interesting situation because the guy certainly played his way into a contract and then had two games that made everybody doubt how big that contract should be. Really interesting.
Yeah, it also puts in the back of my mind that the quarterback matchup on Monday could be interesting for the Browns too. Either Riley Leonard or Will Howard. If the Browns are looking to, like, you're right. If you want Darnold, you're not picking a quarterback at two, right?
That's correct.
And so I agree with that. I just started thinking ahead. I'm like, okay, so what's the right pairing? If you wanted to go after Darnold.
Yeah, but let's not think that you're going to get a guy in the third or fourth or fifth round who's your future quarterback. You might find a guy there who you can play
New England
and develop.
Didn't think that, Jeff.
And get lucky
Bill
with.
Belichick figured out how to do that.
But we know how it works. Look around the league.
I know. All right, let's come back. We are going to get more insight on the NFL. Nick Shook from NFL.com is going to join us. Matt Wilhelm at noon to talk Buckeyes. John Schumann at 1, all straight ahead. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's get more insight into the NFL. He's a friend of the show. I think he's been with us since the early, early days, 13 years
really?
Ago. Yeah, I think so.
He was 12.
No. He was at least 15. No, he was in college. I think he was there somewhere along the way. Nick Shook from the NFL.com, pride of Kent State, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Nick. I'm good, and I was in college back then. I'm not that young now. Come on.
No, you were... Maybe I was already working here and I met you in college? That must be where it was.
Yeah, that's what happened. I was in college when 92.3 The Fan became a thing.
That's right.
Yeah, Bubba.
And then you became bigger than us. It's amazing. And smaller, too.
That's debatable.
I don't know. Nick, we love reading your stuff all the time. Yeah, just kind of give me your feel on the Browns right now and, you know, where they are with the quarterback situation. To me, it's kind of mind-blowing with what happened with Deshaun Watson and where they're going with this quarterback room.
Yeah, I mean, I think all signs point to a clear need for a veteran option and to find your successor. And your successor is not a stopgap. Your success is the next young guy. And, oh, by the way, you have the number two overall pick in the draft. So I think there are two quarterbacks that are worthy of a first-round pick in this draft, and they're probably one's going to go off the board probably at number one, so you might as well get ready to take one at number two. It doesn't necessarily seem like this is the class to spend a number two pick on a quarterback, at least from the outside, but sometimes I think you have to do things like that, and it sure feels like that with this team. Instead of trading down, I at least lean toward them selecting their quarterback of the future, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I think they have to have some sort of stability and plan at the position because they don't have one now. As it pertains to Deshaun Watson, yeah, I wasn't too surprised to hear that he had, suffered another injury to his Achilles, because the way that they've conducted themselves in the last couple of months has been kind of strange. You know, the whole insuring the contract thing was interesting, not unorthodox, but just interesting. The tone that they took when they spoke about him, the fact that, you know, it sounded like the reporting said he would be on the roster in 2025, when it sure felt like when he got hurt that he was never going to play another down for them. And then now that he's hurt again, I think that there's still more to unfold from the quarterback story with Deshaun Watson and with this team, not on the field, but just in you know, what happens from here on out. And I think if you're the Browns, the best thing you can do is try to move to the next stage as quickly as possible. And I think you do that by drafting a quarterback.
All right. If you don't think a quarterback is worthy of the second pick in this draft, but he just happens to be the best quarterback available in the draft when you're picking it too, would you be better off? Is there anybody out there? And you know, we're looking at quarterbacks like crazy, as you might imagine. A guy, let's say, reclamation project, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Trask. Are there any of these young guys who haven't maybe had it click yet, who you think might be better than Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? Or is that a waste?
I think Zach Wilson's in the best possible place he could be right now with Sean Payton. I don't feel any sort of positive way about Trey Lance with the Browns, or Trey Lance really anywhere, just from what we've seen from him in his limited preseason action and the start he made in Week 18. Kyle Trask can stay in Tampa for his whole career and make some nice money as a backup. I don't see that being a long-term answer either. I think that what you end up doing is, I think the reclamation thing is a problem, because you got a Sam Darnold situation this year in which he played very well, and he also, you know, had two terrible games to finish the year and is going to, you know, be seeking some sort of money out there as well. I just don't think it's very reliable. And, you know, the way that Baker was reclaimed in Tampa had a lot more to do with the fact that he kind of needed to be humbled and needed to make a couple stops elsewhere than, you know, a lack of ability. He showed some ability in that stop in L.A., you know, down toward the end of a lost season for the Rams.
Short, yeah, short
the
stop.
Rest of these guys haven't.
Look, Nick, if you take a quarterback at two, okay, and you don't have Deshaun Watson and you weren't planning on that in the first place, are you is the number two pick in this year's draft of this quarterback class, and you kind of alluded to this, is that a guy that can go out and take their lumps day one and play out an entire season? Or do you need to bring somebody in next year if you think you can win and try to ease somebody in? I'd rather see them do the latter than the first. But are any of these quarterbacks coming out worthy of throwing out their week one and maybe you're going to take your lumps all season?
I always kind of lean against it, to be honest with you. But we've seen in recent years that some guys are built for it. Look at what Jaden Daniels has done. I don't think there's a Jaden Daniels in this class, but I do feel pretty confident in a guy like Cam Ward being able to hand play, you know, a good amount of football in multiple stops. I think that the best thing you can do is the latter situation, though, which is getting a veteran bridge quarterback. And I know of one guy out there who currently makes a lot of money and is going to be a backup in Atlanta next year and has a history with Kevin Stefanski. His name's Kirk Cousins. And that would be an interesting pairing at a cheaper rate to bridge the gap between, you know, what the position they're in now and a rookie that they have. But I just think it would be foolish for them to not at least consider taking a quarterback with the number two overall pick when, if there's another team that's a quarterback needy team that's going to be up there, they would take that quarterback, whether it's Sanders or Ward. So I think we should anticipate that being a very real possibility.
Have you looked closely enough yet where you're confident to say which one of those guys you'd prefer?
I think that Sanders might have the higher ceiling overall, but as the guy, I'm less confident in being, you know, somebody who's going to actually make it happen. I feel pretty confident in Cam Ward making it happen. It's just that he may not, you know, reach a stratosphere that I think Shedeur has an opportunity to reach. Just because you see, you know, you saw him in situations in Miami this year where you know, he played well in key moments, and then there was other key moments where they lost some games where he kind of melted down. I think the Georgia Tech game was one of those situations. So I don't like to hold that against him. I think he went in there and did his job as a portal quarterback and got them to a place of prominence. And I think he's going to be a solid NFL quarterback. And I think we need to stop, as football fans, need to stop reaching for the stars, because the Browns just swung and missed incredibly bad on Deshaun Watson, trying to just be better than what they were with Baker Mayfield. You know, I think this franchise needs to accept that, look, the generational quarterback may not always be within reach, but somebody who could be very good for a long time might be there if we are willing to take that guy.
Yeah, Nick, I think it's interesting you say that, because I don't want them to take a swing and a miss at two. I want them to draft maybe an edge rusher or something else. Somebody could walk in, you know, within a week and have an impact, and there are just so many edge rushers coming out in this year's draft. So I know we've talked about quarterback. Fix the next priority thing for the Browns. If you're looking at this, especially knowing what they have, five picks in the top 103. So
yeah, and you know what? I don't mind that at all. And part of that is because if you don't feel good about the quarterback, they do have needs there elsewhere. But I think that the beauty of the NFL and the opposite of the NBA is that the free agency precedes the draft. So you know what you might be able to get before you get to the draft. If they're able to solve the quarterback situation with a bridge and they think it can last them a couple of years and they don't feel good about quarterback in this draft, that's fine. But I do know that this staff in this front office is not coaching and leading this organization with a ton of time because of the way that things ended this year. You know, a lot of people outside of the Cleveland area were kind of surprised that Stefanski and Barry were safe despite winning three games this year. And that pointed to, you know, understanding that a lot of this was based on quarterback and injuries and everything else. I don't think that same patience exists if you go 3-14 again next year. So as nice as it sounds for roster building to add an edge rusher, add a guy at a position of need, I don't know if they have quite the luxury to do that.
Nick Shook joining us. And Nick, local guy, Kent Stater, NFL.com, does a great job covering the National Football League for NFL.com. If you're another NFL team, Raiders, maybe Steelers, fill in the blank, teams that need a quarterback, is Sam Darnold high on your list, or are you thinking, can we do better?
You know, 2 weeks ago I would have said he's high. Right now, He had two very big clunkers in the biggest games of the year. He looked, and last night especially, looked like Sam Darnold that we knew in New York and Carolina, and that is alarming because for most of the season it appeared as if he had graduated beyond that. He had kind of matured beyond that stage, and he reverted back to it. So it really does depend on situation. The Raiders already have a Darnold light in Aiden O'Connell on the roster. So I don't think they go and make, a big offer toward Darnold to get him to go to Vegas. I think that they're still very keyed on getting Shedeur Sanders and the fact that they won their way out of that position to potentially get him. The Steelers, on the other hand, Russell Wilson is kind of nice for a while, and then you saw his limitations, and Justin Fields, you kind of gave up on pretty early in the season unless he was running the ball. So I think anything's on the table for them. They have a lot of questions to answer, and it includes quarterback. I could see them making a play for that. But honestly, one of the more likely scenarios, I think, for Darnold is potentially taking, you know, a raise as a plus backup behind J.J. McCarthy for a year or two, just because of familiarity with Kevin O'Connell and the success he's had there, instead of seeking a big money contract elsewhere that doesn't end up working out.
I'm gonna throw you a tiny curveball here, just a little bit. If you're sitting back and watching Ohio State and Notre Dame next week, how many are there guys that you're watching in that game that could fit? And I think for Browns fans, I mean, when you look at Ohio State's defense, 10 of the 11 starters could be in the NFL next year. And I don't think that that's crazy to say that, which is insane. But when you look at the big picture of college football and how these things happen. But so when you I'm sure you're going to watch a game on Monday night. Is there anybody you're looking or keeping your eyes out on, especially defensively for the Browns, that, you know, could pop off the page for Ohio State that could end up here next year?
I think Cody Simons had a phenomenal playoff run with this team and has really, really impressed me and improved his draft stock a lot. I would love to say the same about JTT, but he's never quite taken the step forward that I expected him to take when he had that great game at Penn State a couple of years ago. Sawyer's obviously had a nice playoff run. He had a huge play in that win over Texas, and he's an interesting candidate for them as well. But you know, I know he's kind of a stand-up edge rusher guy, and I don't know if that necessarily fits the way the Browns draft. So we'll see. The guys that I would like the Browns to consider most from Ohio State are not draft eligible, and that's Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. But I do think that you have to consider some sort of depth option at running back, especially considering all the guys they ran through this season. And so I'd keep an eye on Henderson and Judkins, not as a first round pick, but guys that you consider, you know, as a day two pick for sure.
Who excites you for offensive coordinator with the Browns? There you go. That's what I thought.
Look, if Kevin Stefanski is your play caller, it should not matter that often. It really should not matter that much with, if he's going to return to calling plays, which I think he's done a solid job of, say, from when he got a little cute a couple of years ago, which he has a tendency to do, I don't think your offensive coordinator should matter much. I didn't like the Dorsey hire when it happened, and to see him get fired after a year was not a big surprise to me. But I don't really have a favorite out there because the coordinators that you end up hearing about are guys that are candidates for head coaching jobs. So I would love to see the Browns, you know, kind of be savvy like the Bills were when they went and added Joe Brady to their staff ahead of time, knowing that he was a smart guy and had just been in a bad situation in Carolina. But I don't have any favorites for them replacing him right now because ultimately, if Stefanski's calling the plays, it doesn't matter that much to me.
Nick, real quick, last question. Who do you like in the NFL right now, left in the playoffs?
I feel good about the Eagles. I know that their game over, you know, their win over the Packers wasn't super impressive, but that defense can beat anybody. And so I feel very good about them in the NFC right now. Obviously, the Lions, they're in the conversation. On the AFC side, Ravens. I hate to say it. It's the Ravens look like the best team in the AFC right now by a significant margin.
Fair enough. Thank you, Nick. We don't read you all the time at NFL.com, and we're super proud of the path you've taken to stardom that you have. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I always love being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, Nick Shook, nice enough to join us from the NFL.com or NFL.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call. It's Baskin and Phelps. If you want to hit us up on social media, at CLE Talking Heads. Also want to remember you, asking Baskin Phelps Helps, coming back on Thursday. If you have any question in the world, any question at all, we have you covered. All you need to do is go to the Odyssey app, and you'll see there's a little button there on Baskin and Phelps, and then you just press that button and basically leave us a voicemail with your question. If it makes the cut, it makes the air. So that's what we want to make happen with Askin Baskin and Phelps Helps. That'll be on Thursday. We just had Nick Shook on from NFL.com. He said something that makes me cringe. Not that he's wrong. I just say it makes me cringe. The thought of the Browns drafting a quarterback with a number two spot, everything we've read, everything that we've heard, this is a down year for a quarterback. And if you're going to take the number two pick on a guy that I don't know where they would land in most years, but because of the value of quarterback, they suddenly become the best thing since sliced bread this April because, I don't know, because their hands are big or because they look good in running shorts at the combine, and now all of a sudden they're the top quarterback in the draft, and we sit here and we listen to the marketing ploys and the got to get my guy out there, and then and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this guy's number two. Oh, he's great. And then we believe, you know, we believe analysts sometimes like weathermen, that we believe that everything they say is going to be truthful, and then we never go back.
I don't believe those guys.
But we never go back to check the weathermen to see if they were 100% right, do we? Is anyone doing that?
I don't believe so.
No, and I think we do that with NFL draft people or draft scouts, you know, and the media type, not exactly the ones that work for the teams, that it's like sometimes you kind of wonder. I just know that it seems to me there are a lot of really good players in college football coming out this year, and a lot of them play defense. And if the best player on the board is not a quarterback, dear God, do not take that. It's
okay. Can I play devil's advocate for you?
Sure, knock yourself out.
The idea of taking a quarterback at two in this draft doesn't appeal to me either.
Okay, so all three of us are on the same page, right?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Of everything we've heard about the quarterbacks in this draft.
Right.
Let's just say you think Cam Ward is he's the 18th guy on your board, but you think he's going to be a good quarterback for the next 12 years. Good. And you really need one. Well, then why wouldn't you just go ahead and take him?
Because you have other needs at other positions.
Not any bigger than a quarterback.
I don't know. If you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't really matter how good your quarterback is.
Well, maybe you have
an
offensive line. We've already talked about
that. Maybe you could
get
a left tackle that's going to be here for 10 years at
blocking,
number two.
Blocking for whom?
Blocking for said quarterback that you put in a position to win. I am not... If the second best player in the draft is not a quarterback, please, let's not try to put a round peg through a square hole. Can we please stop doing that? Can we? Lamar Jackson's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best.
Yeah, and you got, and they got him at 32?
At 32, yes. You got him at 32. We have what, pick 33 this year?
Well, that's because a lot of teams were stupid enough to pass on him, including ours.
Okay.
They didn't see it.
My point is...
That's what I'm saying. If you see it in a guy, and you need a quarterback, and you have the second pick in the draft, why wouldn't you? Hey, there are four defensive ends that we think are better. All right, good. We'll then get one of them later.
Well, if you think there are four defensive ends better than the quarterback you're about to pick, take the defensive end. The guy that might have the most impact on your franchise for years.
There's nobody more impactful than the quarterback. However, if you honestly think he's not the top 10, but you let's say you have him 11th on your board, but you think he's going to be really good and could be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, you just think there are 10 guys better. You still take the quarterback.
I would go if you're sitting there and you're going, I think this guy is at comparing
well,
him to a
that's
guy.
That's what the whole draft is.
Well, Andy, no, but is, there are I guys. Think. There are guys that you can see that are clearly going to have an impact in the NFL just by the way they play. Sometimes they're just no-brainers, right? Am I right? Sometimes they're no-brainers.
Yeah, that Jamarcus Russell was a no-brainer.
You pick, like, the one or two guys every time you do this.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, of course there are.
And Ryan Leaf was a lock.
You do what you want. I would love to be in a draft with you because I would let you pick – all these guys you think that are like, I'd rather take some. I'd rather be the Steelers. Like, they pick proven guys, guys that seem to get things done.
The Browns have won a playoff game before since the Steelers have won a playoff
game.
You're right.
You wouldn't trade any of their Super Bowl rings for any of ours, right?
That's going way too far back.
It's not going. It doesn't matter. Like, they know how to win. They know how to set things up.
I don't doubt
Baltimore
that at all.
Knows how to win. Baltimore knows how to set things up. I don't want the circus coming to town anymore. I'm tired, man. Make the right pick.
Well, the right pick might be a quarterback.
And it might be a defensive end, too.
If they really think a quarterback is that, if they think Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is going to be a really good quarterback for a long time in the league, Andy, and I'm not crazy about the idea, you have to take one. You have to.
Says who? Who tells you have to do this? The experts? I mean, you better be the experts within your own organization.
The people who know that their jobs are on the line if they don't get the quarterback situation right.
Here we go again. Now
and
you're going to end up firing
that's you. That's every front office in the National Football League.
I think they can do better. They know they can do better. Stay out of the hype train. Find the guy that can give you the most value for the longest amount of time. Is there another? I know Myles Garrett went first overall, but like you look at a guy like Myles Garrett wasn't even a second thought on there, was there?
Well, there should have been.
On Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
He's going to the Hall of Fame. What more do you want?
That's great.
You would have rather had the quarterback.
I'd rather had Patrick Mahomes.
Would you have let him sit for a year?
No.
Would you have let
Cleveland?
Lamar
there's
Jackson,
no way Cleveland
would have
let him
Lamar
sit for
Jackson sit for a year.
The Ravens didn't.
Yes, they did.
Not a whole year.
Lamar Jackson sat.
Not a whole year.
Well, he sat. Well, it had to be close to like 14 games or something like that.
They played Joe Flacco.
Right. They had Joe Flacco and they had Lamar Jackson take his time. You could talk me into a quarterback at two if you could give me a plan where he sits.
And that plan is Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Or that plan is.
Guys,
Russell Wilson.
I love the fact that we think that they'll take a guy at number two and sit him. Is that anyone looked at this franchise and the ownership group?
That's my problem.
There's no way.
Yep.
I mean, we sat around, and it was even before. I think it was before Haslam. But, I mean, we sat around. I think it was Colt McCoy who they took at the time. And Colt was sitting in the beginning of the year. Maybe it wasn't Colt. Maybe it was Brady Quinn. That, you know, your ownership sitting around going, well, why isn't my top draft pick in the game?
We all know they shouldn't have played.
Because he wasn't ready.
Shouldn't have played Kaiser.
should not have played Kizer, and then your head coach ran out there and said to everybody, he's our franchise quarterback.
However, should you have played Bo Nix in Denver? They did. He was pretty good.
Look, there's always going to be an example that's different on anything. Right.
Exactly. And that's
every team in the NFL is stupid about Tom Brady, right? You know, like, everyone was.
As great as Miles is, and you know, he's incredible. If you'd have taken Mahomes and done it right, then that's a better pick for you. And it pains me to say that because I think Miles is incredible and he's going to the Hall of Fame. But the team hasn't had a quarterback. And that's why, Andy, I say, if you have a guy who you think is going to play in the league for a long time at quarterback and play fairly well, and you really need one, you better take one at two. And I don't really condone that. But if you think there's a guy that's going to play in the league, this is your chance because you hope you're not picking second again.
Best
and Arch Manning might
available.
Go one.
I'll just best
in 2026.
Available. Best player available. G Money. Hey, G Money.
Hey.
Hey, man.
I want to talk about J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, let's talk.
Hey. Now, and it's going to the Chargers. Okay, J.J. McCarthy played under Harbaugh.
Yeah.
At Michigan.
Yep. Go ahead, keep going, G-Money. Still there? We lost you. Bad for up. Oh, you're back. You there? We're back. We're there. We're back. We don't
see
even
you,
know.
G-Money.
Call back, G-Money.
G-Money needs to spend some money on a better cell phone connection.
How do you know it's not the tower, man? You're blaming G-Money? Could be the tower.
Oh, I thought I'd be cute, Andy.
Maybe he's got a better service.
Thought I'd be cute.
Yeah. I feel bad for G-Money. I don't know where it was going. Where do you think it was going? That McCarthy's going to end up with the Chargers next year?
That's where I think he was going. I think he was going that he's pro-ready and you should trade the number two pick for him, which I would do.
It's better than what we have right now. I'll say that. But it's still unproven in the NFL. That's the issue. Are we going to sit here and bang our heads until April trying to figure out what they're supposed to do it to? And then you know what's going to happen when it's all said and done, right? We're going to get to draft day and we're going to find out.
You're going to take a right guard.
We're going to watch the
backup Wyatt Teller.
We're going to watch the number one pick happen and then they're going to go, Cleveland Browns are on the clock. And then they're going to come up and they're going to be like, with the second selection, the Cleveland Browns trade down out of the number two spot.
That'd be fine if that's what they deem the best thing to do. And then they better be right.
And you were right. Lamar Jackson started 7 games that year.
Thank you.
You were correct.
Thank you very much.
Why do you have to appease him? Just let him think that he might be wrong just for a second.
Oh, because I want to give him credit when he's right. So then that
I try not to say things that I know are wrong.
So then that way when he's wrong, I could tear him down to nothing.
That means if I say something, true. I usually think it's right, but you never know.
You know, it's the old adage, Andy. You know, you want Michigan to win all of those games, so then that way when you take them down.
That's it. Correct. 100% correct. You know who knows that? A guy who was a fourth-round pick back in 03, pick number 112. He's going to join us next. On the clock with us on Baskin and Phelps. Matt Wilhelm is going to talk Ohio State football with us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.